4 months after Dundalk became champions by beating Cork City on a final night decider, the new domestic season begins next weekend. For Galway United, that means the return of Premier Division football, and they'll be hoping for much better than their last top-flight campaign 4 years ago. Back then, they finished bottom of the table with only 6 points, conceding 115 goals along the way, and at one stage losing 22 matches in a row. That ultimately led to the club going out of existence, but they returned last season as Galway FC and came through the playoffs to win promotion to the Premier, where they'll play this season with the United name restored. I've spent an exceptionally wet and windy day at the club this week, talking with all sorts of people about the year ahead, including Noel Connolly from Glenamaddy, who as groundsman is responsible for maintaining what's renowned as one of the best playing surfaces in the country.
I'm 20 years here at the ground this year and I've seen it develop. You know, the ground has changed a lot since then. It's owned by the local league, which would be similar to what we have, likes of Turner's Cross, owned by the Munster Football Association. Here, the League of Ireland uses it on a Friday night, and then we've got numerous other games going on all through the year, local league finals and ladies soccer and universities, army, even loads of games like that.
With the best will in the world, Noel, the weather in the west of Ireland isn't exactly great. We're seeing that more than ever today with all the wind and the rain. So you've got that to contend with, all those games you just spoke about, and yet you still managed to keep the pitch in such good condition, and it has such a good reputation. What's your secret?
Just hard work, really, and we got good help here. We've got some part-time staff on a FOSS scheme. We'll learn the trade of groundsmanship, and just hard work, and we got good support from the Galway FA. As I say, they own the ground, and financially they put in what's needed to keep the ground in tip-top shape.
The club's rebirth at the end of 2013 came about after Salthill Devon and Merview United had preserved County Galway's involvement in the league by both playing in the First Division for 2 years, Merview getting into the playoffs in the second of those. The former Celtic keeper Tommy Lally, who as manager took Galway United to the FAI Cup final in 1985, is now on the club's board. He's explained how things came together and how bad they got in the first place.
Well, I think some very bad financial decisions were made. People in charge of the club took a gamble, and the club went full-time, large budget, and unfortunately it didn't work out. The result being, of course, that the club went out of existence, and it left a huge void in the local sports community.
How big an effort was it, Tommy, to get things back on track and to get Galway United playing League of Ireland football again?
It was a huge effort. I think, looking back over the last 18 months, there was something in the region between implementation body meetings and meetings of the board, something in the region of over 123 meetings. And we managed to get the four entities together, Salthill Devon Football Club, Merview United, the Galway and District League, and the Gust organisation, of which I'm a member of. We got around the table and we sat down together, ironed a few things out. It wasn't always easy. At the end of the day, we wound up having the club back in the league, which is very, very important. And now we have to plan for next season and hopefully stabilise the situation and move on into the future.
There might not be any famous faces in the squad, but there is one player with a famous Irish footballing name. Midfielder David O'Leary has joined over the winter from his hometown club.
Being with Cork City last year, a big club, you know, going the right way. We had a title challenge last year, so, you know, hopefully I can bring this experience that I had from last year and the year before with Limerick into a bunch of lads, you know, who did very well last year, you know, getting promoted from the First Division.
Last season, you know, you were talking there about Cork City, and it was such a great year. The crowds were fantastic. The people of the city really got behind it. And it would be great now if, with Galway back in the Premier Division, a similar sort of enthusiasm could be created up here.
Yeah, well, I see Galway as a similar city to Cork. You know, it's a big city, and hopefully the fans will get behind the club and support it like Cork fans did last year, because walking out into the ground with nearly full is fantastic, and I know they've great support here, and hopefully it'll show this year again.
Just this week, Galway signed Sam Ogie, who was at Limerick. The 29-year-old defender previously played for a number of league clubs in England after growing up at Arsenal, where he learned his trade in good company.
Players like Jermaine Pennant, who's played for Liverpool, Birmingham, Jerome Thomas, who's now at Crystal Palace, Steve Sidwell, Ben Chorley, who's playing down at Portsmouth, and then Justin Hoyt, who played for Middlesbrough, Sunderland, Sebastian Larsson, again now he's at Sunderland. In my own team, there's a couple of boys playing in Ireland who were in my own youth team, Stephen O'Donnell at Dundalk, and Padge Craig at Shams. They were both in my actual youth team. Yeah, in my youth cup team there was Cesc Fabregas as well, so there's one or two that's gone on to do well for themselves.
So you've played alongside a World Cup winner. That's not a bad recommendation to have. And, you know, you're over here now and obviously looking forward to the season and the challenge of the Premier Division with Galway. Would you still have aspirations to get back to play league football in England again if this goes well?
Yeah, I think I did well last year, and at the end of the last season, my sort of like, I wanted to try and go home, play back in the league. I feel like I've got some unfinished business there. There's an opportunity to go into a league side over there, but it came at the wrong time in January. But they wanted me to do an extended trial, which with the season ending in April, it wasn't really conducive at the time. But, you know, you never shut the door on anything. And now I'm focused on doing as well as I can for Galway United, and what will be will be.
The squad is now more or less finalised for the assault on the Premier Division. And manager Tommy Dunn is pleased with the business which has been completed.
From where we're at, I think it's as strong a group as we are going to get together. A lot of the lads from last year's team stayed on, and we're delighted that they did. And, you know, they know that it's going to be a step up this year. And most of the guys that are with the group now have been working extremely hard to get themselves to another level. And we know that's what's going to be required. As I said, a lot of the players, it's a first time out for them in the Premier. So there'll be a learning curve, but you need to learn quick, otherwise you'll have yourself in a bit of bother that you don't want to be in.
And Sam Ogie isn't the only player from abroad at the club. Galway's top scorer in their promotion season was Jake Keegan from New York State.
I was over in Germany for a bit, and then I came over to Ireland. I kind of had a contact over from New York that knew some people over in Ireland, so that's how I came over last year on trial.
You've come from a fantastic city, famous around the world. We all love New York. Galway is a city then, obviously much, much smaller, but it has its own charms. How do you find it?
Yeah, like I was saying, I mean, I love Galway. Like, it's similar enough to my hometown, because I'm not from the city. I'm from a little bit of outside, so it's a bit smaller. But Galway's it's a great city. There's the two universities, NUIG, GMIT, so it's kind of a good kind of youth environment, and there's tons of shops and everything. It's right on the water too, so like you kind of have everything you could ever want really from a city. It's small, but it does the job, that's for sure.
The league title has never gone to Galway. Their best finish was second behind Shamrock Rovers in 1986. That took them into the UEFA Cup the following season. And with their own stadium not deemed suitable, their home match against Dutch side Groningen was famously played at the very unusual venue of a remote ground in the Gaeltacht area of Carra Row. Groundsman Noel Connolly was there.
Yeah, it was, I suppose they offered their grounds. It wasn't invested in the GAA, a lot of the local grounds were and weren't usable. Similar, there wasn't much rugby grounds that were up to the standards, so they transformed it for the day into a nice location, and it was pretty picturesque as well.
It was quite picturesque, but very much out in the middle of nowhere. What did the visiting team make of that?
I suppose they were a little bit shocked, because the roadway out there isn't the best, and everyone travelled out by bus. Most of the fans travelled out by bus, so it was, again, very small town, village really, and it was a big day for them, but quite strange for the visiting Groningen people.
European football is some way off yet, but after all the turbulence of the last few years, it's more than enough for now to be playing in the Premier Division again. Tommy Lally is aware, though, that the crowds need to be attracted in order to sustain the revamped club.
Well, I have to look back to the playoff situation there last season. I think in one of the games up in MNDC Park, we had over 3,600 people attending. We have no situation here where we have a co-op being set up. It'll be a supporters-run club in the future. There's a great sense of enthusiasm there, and, you know, anticipation for the forthcoming season. And hopefully the results will go our way, and we'll be able to sustain very substantial gates.
And you mentioned Eamon DC Park there, and it's a really nice gesture. The former European Cup winner, no longer with us, sadly, but having this famous ground named after him. And, of course, he's a former teammate of yours.
That's correct. I actually managed Eamon when I was manager of Galway United Football Club, and you know, I often said Eamon came back here after being a full-time professional with Aston Villa Football Club, and he wouldn't take any money for playing for Galway United. He refused to sign a contract. He signed as an amateur, and I often said in my managerial time here at the club that if I had 11 Eamon DCs and could keep them on the park, we'd have won everything in sight. He was a very, very nice lad and a very strong competitor. And he's sadly missed, I have to say, by myself and indeed all of the sportsmen in the city.
It all starts at Eamon DC Park against Derry City next Friday night. And goalkeeper Conor Gleeson, a Galway man himself, is hopeful the club can assert itself this season among many competing sporting attractions in the area.
You see, at the moment, Connacht Rugby is going fairly well, attracting big crowds. Gaelic, the GAA always seem to be attracting good crowds as well. But I think that as a city, Galway is a big football city. Like you see, everyone seems to be supporting the club over in England. I don't see why they can't come up and watch us on a Friday night. And I'm sure they will this season. Hopefully, if you play good football on that, they'll be out in numbers.
And all the best to all 20 clubs as it all starts in the League of Ireland next weekend. And a special mention for Cavan Teely FC as they start their first ever season in the First Division.